Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
When we got the long list this week for the prestigious literary award, the Booker Prize, it included Jamaican-American author Jonathan Escoffrey's debut story collection, If I Survive You. It's just the latest accolade for Escoffrey's book, which was also longlisted for the National Book Award for Fiction. The eight tales are cleverly woven to tell one bigger story about family, race, and the Jamaican-American experience. The first story, In Flux, addresses the question of identity. This excerpt explores what happens when a 9-year-old American-born boy visits Jamaica, his parents' country, for the first time.
You disagree with every aspect of the island life, down to the general lack of central air conditioning. You prefer burgers and hot dogs to jerked or curried anything. Back at home, your parents accuse you of speaking and even acting like a real Yankee. But if by Yankee they mean American, you embrace it. I speak English, you respond.
That's Torian Brackett from the Audible version of If I Survive You. Yet back in Florida, the young boy also struggles to fit in and find his place. Last October, I met with Jonathan Escoffrey to talk about the book, and I began by asking him to give me a thumbnail sketch of the stories it contains.
It's about a family of Jamaicans who leave Kingston to move to Miami in the late 1970s. And for much of the book, we're following different members of the family as they struggle to acclimate to their life, their lives in the United States, and particularly in Miami, Florida. And we follow the first, the only American-born son in the family for much of the book. His name is Trelawney, and he is struggling to figure out who he's going to be in the world. And Trelawney is trying to, for much of the book, dig himself out of homelessness and reclaim his position within the family by putting a roof over his head and eventually trying to buy the family home and prove his worth to his family.
And Trelawney's a smart kid. He's a college grad. But one of the themes that I found really interesting was that you take us really into the lives of low-wage workers and not your stereotypical low-wage jobs. I'd love you to talk a little bit about your kind of motivation for doing that, your inspiration behind, you know, just the grittiness and the instability of the kinds of work even Trelawney as a college grad ends up having to do.
I was interested in this idea that, you know, Trelawney, he leaves Miami for a time for college and he goes to the Midwest and he gets a bachelor's degree in English. And he has this idea that he's going to move back to Miami and, you know, if he has this degree, that's going to guarantee him a job. And unfortunately for him, he comes back during the 2008 recession and he's unable to find a job. And I was interested in this because I remember, you know, living through that recession and how difficult it was to find a job.
And just a little sidebar here, as the children of immigrants, our parents would never want us to get an English degree. Like, it's almost useless, right?
Absolutely. And he is having that same experience. He wants to go away and think that he's going to be a writer and pursue art. And his family isn't really supportive of that. And, you know, despite all my years as someone who has a BA in English and has an MFA and is currently in a PhD program and an additional graduate program, I still don't quite understand what I can do with my bachelor's in English.
So maybe they're right.
So I think they have a point.
Another theme in the book, obviously, is race and identity, whiteness, anti-blackness. I think one of the things that I found really interesting was the discriminatory behaviors towards Trelawney and his family didn't necessarily come from white folks. It came from other people of color, the Cuban mother of his girlfriend, the Chinese parents of another friend, the Puerto Rican kids at school who found out he wasn't Puerto Rican, but that he was Jamaican or black or something and excluded him. It's not something we hear or read about much. Why did you want to go there? And it wasn't just one time, it was repeatedly throughout the stories?
I don't know. So much has been contributed to literature in terms of how whiteness inherently excludes and inherently excludes Black people. And the book certainly deals with that as well, but I don't know. My experience growing up in Miami and also spending my time in the Midwest, I can't help but catalog these other moments where we are sometimes, you know, terrible to one another. But, you know, and sometimes that's in pursuit of gaining proximity to whiteness. I mean, another way of looking at it is that I didn't want to just talk about race and then center whiteness. I wanted to talk about, like, what are we doing as people of color, and how are we treating one another?
One of the other really interesting things that jumped out at me was that you weren't afraid to take on some things like U.S. imperialism and its role in Jamaica and the CIA involvement in Jamaica as reasons for migration, as reasons why people might get pushed out of a country. Again, not the standard reasons, stereotypical reasons that we hear about why people immigrate.
I think I had to have faith that showing, you know, peeling back the layers and saying, you know, not all immigrants come here for opportunity. And like we've heard a lot of that narrative, and that is certainly true for a lot of people. But there's also this other element of, I should say, the U.S. not always being friendly to immigrants and then totally ignoring the reasons why they come here in the first place. And I think particularly thinking of the stories that I grew up with as the son of Jamaicans who were pretty solidly middle class in Jamaica and had, the stories go that they had fairly nice lives. And when I visit Jamaica and I visit their friends who never left, their lives seem pretty great. I'm not saying perfect, but you never see those Jamaicans, or you rarely see Caribbean people like them in books or on TV. It's always a kind of narrative about poverty and how the U.S. saved people. And I wanted to take a closer look at that when, you know, the narratives that I grew up with had a lot to do with, or were more centered on, you know, U.S. involvement in creating hostile environments for people who then, you know, had to make a decision whether or not to leave for the purpose of safety and not upward mobility.
Who are you writing the book for? Like, as you were writing the stories, who was the audience you pictured? Like, was it your relatives in Jamaica? Was it the kids you grew up with in Miami? Was it kind of the literary world that you encountered at grad school?
I think I may have revised at times thinking about those communities. But yeah, I definitely didn't write the book for Jamaicans thinking, oh, this is for you, particularly Jamaicans back in Jamaica. If anything, I've felt a little bit more of an anxiety because, I'm a lot like my character, Trelawney, right? It's like, I might be walking around happily and saying, you know, I'm Jamaican, you know, and one of them will look at me and say, come on, you're not Jamaican. Like, what do you know about Jamaica? But Jamaicans in the diaspora, I'm always really excited to talk to them, especially about the project of the book.
So fictionalized autobiography / memoir, perhaps?
I would say, you know, there are parts of the book that were inspired by true events, and I'll leave it at that. But it's fiction. It's fiction.
Jonathan Escoffrey, author of If I Survive You, thank you so much for joining us on Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our interview from last October. If I Survive You is now on the long list for the Booker Prize.